You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Auckland Council's Community Committee has recently reported a 53% rise in roof sleeping over 4 months, with the data showing the number of people known to be living in cars, parks or on the streets has risen from 426 in September to 653 in January. Kickback, a youth development and social justice community responding to youth homelessness, is calling for an urgent review of the Ministry of Social Development's approach to homelessness. I spoke with General Manager Aaron Hendry about why it is calling for a review and which suggestions he has for the Public Service Department. Tell us a bit more about what Kickback does and why it's calling for an urgent review of the Ministry of Social Development, MSD.
Yeah, kia ora. So Kickback's a youth development organisation that's responding to youth homelessness. We specifically have a service called The Front Door right on Kay Road in Auckland Central, and it's a crisis response, you know, drop-in centre for young people experiencing homelessness. So Kickback has experienced through our young people the reality of a lot of the government's decisions around emergency housing and the welfare reforms. And, you know, basically what we're seeing is young people walking in crisis, seeking support, and then being denied support from the Ministry of Social Development, from Work and Income. And in some cases, the most extreme cases, going and staying on the streets and experiencing some very extreme harm as a result of that because they can't get access to emergency housing. So what Kickback's calling for is an immediate review of the way the emergency housing policy is being applied. The government has said that, you know, Minister Tama Potaka, who's responsible for this area, has said that people who have an immediate housing need should be able to access emergency accommodation. The reality is that's not the case. When young people are walking into Work and Income, they're routinely being denied support and they're ending up sleeping rough or in really dangerous situations as a result. So if the policy is sound, as the Minister claims, then we believe there must be something going wrong within the MSD that needs to be reviewed. So we're calling on Minister Louise Upston to review the practice of the Ministry of Social Development and also the policy, the internal policy around how this policy is being applied and why is it that really vulnerable young people can walk into Work and Income, have their lives at risk, be in really dangerous situations, request, you know, support for immediate shelter, and then be denied that support only to be turned away to sleep on the streets. And we think that's fairly unacceptable. And I don't think anyone wants that to be happening. So we think there needs to be an urgent review of this immediately to understand why it is happening. And the current emergency housing reforms need to be rolled back instantly, you know, this afternoon, as soon as possible, to ensure that further harm isn't done while the government figures out what's happening.
And what did the recent report from Auckland Council find in regards to the amount of rangatahi sleeping rough?
Yeah, in terms in general, about 53 to 55% increase in people sleeping rough across the city. Don't have the exact figure on how many of those are rangatahi, but that's a huge jump, right? We also know if you're counting people out on the street, then youth homelessness is often seen as hidden homelessness. This means they don't always turn up in our data. So I'd be concerned that number is much higher for our young people. So, you know, Kickback ourselves, you know, we're kind of monitoring over 100 young people in the city at the moment. Many of them have had experiences where they have sought shelter through emergency housing, through MSD, and been denied that support, and then, you know, suffered fairly extensive harm as a result of that decision when they've gone back into really dangerous situations as a result.
And why is Kickback concerned that MSD does not have the capability to assess the risk and need of people walking in the door of Work and Income?
Our experience and the experience of our young people is that when they walk into Work and Income offices, it's not a trauma-informed environment. Often the caseworkers don't have the skills to understand trauma-informed care, to assess risk in a trauma-informed way, and then provide an appropriate intervention and support. And, you know, in many ways, this is not the job of Work and Income, right? And so it shows a real flaw in the model in that, you know, Work and Income is meant to be a doorway into public services and public support, but they aren't often practitioners and they aren't often trained to identify risk and assess it appropriately. And so there needs to be a real rethink around the way the model works and how we are ensuring that some of our most vulnerable people, when they turn up to Work and Income, are getting an appropriate, robust assessment before being denied support. And what we're seeing is, you know, we do a thorough assessment with our rangatahi when they first come in to best understand their needs and what's going on. And what we are constantly seeing is that young people are going into Work and Income, they're either not being assessed at all. So from the moment they walk in the door, they're being told, hey, there's no emergency housing, we can't support you. Or, you know, they're having assessments that have been done in a way that isn't trauma-informed and became more triggering and causing more harm. And then at the end of it, they're still not getting the support they need, even though clearly their health and their safety and their immediate well-being is being compromised. So we think that needs to be reviewed. We need to have a real good understanding around why this is the case. Why is it that a young 16-year-old could walk into Work and Income today, be told that they are not able to receive any support, denied emergency housing, and then go out to sleep on the street in Queen Street that afternoon after coming to one of our public services and asking for help. Something is going wrong there, and we think it's up to the government to understand why that is happening and to respond immediately and swiftly to address it. Winter's coming up. We're seeing more people on the street. We need to act decisively to ensure that we don't lose a life as a result of this policy.
What suggestions do you have around making Work and Income staff more trauma-informed?
Yeah, look, I mean, I think there's a few things that needs to happen. One, you know, the government needs to escalate process around developing duty to assist legislation. So duty to assist legislation would mean that basically it's duty to assist legislation basically clarifies the responsibility the state has to prevent people from experiencing homelessness or support people who are. So in this case, if we had duty to assist legislation implemented, if someone walked into Work and Income, the state and public services would understand they have a role and an important role to ensure that those people don't sleep rough that night and they get the support they need. So this would clarify things for public servants. But we also need to be looking at the Work and Income model as a whole. It's not a trauma-informed space. You know, we need to ensure that actually we're designing services that meet the needs of the people we're here to serve. Work and Income is a service that is meant to be meeting the needs of some of our most vulnerable people within our city and within our country. And right now, it is not designed in a way that can be accessible and meet those needs. And alongside that, we need to be ensuring that our public servants are trained in that role, are trained well in terms of understanding trauma, understanding homelessness, understanding how to do robust assessments and how to do that in a way that is safe and is going to support people. And that when risk and harm is identified, understanding what the pathways are to ensure that people are safe. And unfortunately, it doesn't look like that is happening at the moment, at least not in the experience of our young people. Our young people routinely report that their experiences of walking into a Work and Income office are triggering, traumatizing. They often feel gaslit. They often feel like they're not believed. And they often leave feeling worse than when they walked in. And for a public service that is there to serve the public, we think there's a gap there. There's something not working because it is not serving our people well at the moment.
What are the recent changes made to the government's emergency housing policy, and how does Kickback feel about them?
Yeah, so the government late last year changed the policy to mean that it was more restrictive and it was harder to get access to it, and also that there was more penalties. It was easier to lose emergency accommodation. The minister continues, Minister Portaker continues to say that, you know, if someone is in an immediate need of emergency housing, they can still access it. Our experience is that it's near impossible to access emergency housing. We are constantly having situations where we have young people in immediate crisis whose lives are in danger, who are unsafe and unwell, and they're going into Work and Income, they're asking for support, and they've been denied that support and turned away to sleep on the streets or go back into a situation where they're actually really unsafe and it's having a huge impact on their well-being. So we're really concerned about that. We think that the government needs to pause, roll back their reforms, and ensure that anyone that turns up to Work and Income can get access to emergency housing, while ensuring we do the robust, important work of ensuring that there are alternatives to the motel model. No one disagrees with the government that motels are not a perfect solution for people in immediate housing crisis. No one thinks that's a good idea. But what would be a responsible way forward would be to ensure that there were alternatives for people, so that when you turned up to Work and Income, or if you were in an immediate risk and you needed somewhere to stay tonight, that there was a process and a plan in place for you so we could keep you safe. What the government has essentially done is closed the door and kept some of our most vulnerable people outside in the cold. And there's immense harm happening because of this. And, you know, we need to do better. We need to ensure that, you know, our most vulnerable people, especially our young people, can get access to shelter immediately and then the support they need to get into stable housing as swiftly as possible. And it's really hard to do when someone's sleeping on the street.
In order to move forward, what needs to be done to make that 53% rise of risk sleepers in Tamaki Makaurau decline?
Yeah, look, I mean, the first thing the government needs to do is they need to roll back their reforms. They need to make a call right now to the Ministry of Social Development and say, look, we're going to do things differently. We're going to ensure that anyone that turns up gets access to emergency accommodation and go from there. Second thing we need to do is a review of the Ministry of Social Development to understand how this policy has been implemented and why it is that vulnerable people are turning up to Work and Income who are in crisis and being denied support and then being shoved off onto the streets. And the third thing we need to be looking at is developing duty to assist legislation to ensure that the state's role in supporting and preventing people from experiencing homelessness is clarified, and we never have a situation like this in this country again where vulnerable people are being harmed because of decisions being made within local Work and Income offices which are putting people at risk.
That's all we've got time for today, Aaron. Is there anything else you'd like to tell us?
probably just alongside that, you know, if you are interested in supporting, there's a campaign at the moment to get duty to assist legislation. You can find that on Action Station. Just type in duty to assist in Google. And just recognising that, you know, homelessness is a big issue that we can actually solve in New Zealand. Right now, the government is making a lot of decisions that are increasing the risk and the harm of homelessness. But it has been a long issue. It has existed within Aotearoa for a long time. But we can solve it. And if we're learning anything right now, is how quickly decisions in Wellington impact our communities and impacts actually what's going on. And we can make different decisions and we can build a system and a community where none of our people have to sleep rough and none of our people ever have to experience the indignity of homelessness. It's possible, but it just involves us making better decisions for our community and the welfare of our people.
That was General Manager of Kickback Aaron Hendry talking to us about why it's calling for an urgent review of the Ministry of Social Development.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.